Vadim Lysenko Rebbe.
Name was my name, Lissasan, world. So, on this Yom Echad, we are ready to begin Daf Hey, Masechet Makot. And we're.
Rabbi,
Yes, sir.
I'd like to dedicate this daf to your site of my favorite aunt, Jean Schwartz, Zelda Bat Yerachmiel, Zichrono Levracha. She was our closest aunt, always with us. Always, what do you call it? She died on the second day of Pesach. So.
All right, Tante Zelda. Okay.
And
She had
thank you.
Nishmata.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're at the Halakha Mishnah. We have a big problem because we can't give a boost greeting because I mean, we could do an empty boost thing, but we don't use the boost on Pesach. It doesn't have a Hechsher. I don't know. How are we going to let people know we love them if we can't give them a boost? No. They'll have to live on the memory. Okay, today's daf in the Masechet Makot, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKodesh, is Daf Hey, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah, and we're beginning this Masechet Makot right here at the beginning of Sfirat HaOmer. But Sfirat HaOmer is longer than Masechet Makot. How do you like that? Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, this Omer. We'll be finishing Makot. So we split up the amount of money that needs to be paid in the event, let's say you have a number of Edim, that they testified a guy owns $1,000, and you've got 10 Edim in that cot of Edim. They each pay $100. But when it comes to the cases where they're Chayiv Malkus, which were the cases that we began the Masechet with, in that case, every one of them gets Malkus separately. How does this work? Ketzad? Hey, do shu chayev lechaveru 200 zuz v'nimtzu zaymet mishal shemineh. So if two edim are mechayev someone 200 zuz, turns out they were zaymetim, they split it. Aval imi idu shu chayev Malkus arba'im and nimtzu zaymetim, then kol echad v'echad is oika arba'im. So how do we know that we can't split the makot? We do split the money. Well, Nema Rosha b'chayevei malkiyot. This word, v'haya im bin hakot harasha, which is this whole amazing parsha that we've been discussing from the beginning of the Masechet, which is the remez le'edim zemim min haTorah, so to speak. And over there it says, v'haya im bin hakot harasha, and that, of course, is the whole basis of all of the Dinim of Malkus comes from there. And it also says, v'nema rasha, b'chayvei mitot beitin. So there it says, asher hu rasha lamut. So just like in the case of Edim Zomimim that are found to be neharagin, because they were made the sheker, that the person was chayav misa, now there'd be no way to split that misa. That would be quite a trick if we could kill each one of the Edim Zomimim by one half. But we can't do that. So to the best of our ability, when we kill them one and a half, we got to kill them. So just like there's no such thing as a mitav mechza, afkan in malkut mechza. Rava Omar, Rava says, look, it's very straightforward, actually. I mean, there's no need for a special pasuk. We need to be mekayim kasher zaman, right? So how are we going to be mekayim kasher zaman if they wanted to give that guy malchus? And we don't give them Malkus. They were going to give this guy Malkus Arba'im. Now, there's no way that we're going to be able to put together, 20 Malkus with one guy and 20 Malkus with another guy. So neither of them are going to get Kasher Zaman. So therefore, it makes sense that there's no way for us to split it up. Well, wait a minute. So then why are we giving them Kasher Zaman in the case of Momon? I mean, each one of them was a participant in an Eidus that wanted to be Mechayev and 200 Zuz. So if neither of them is going to be Chayev 200 Zuz, so then neither of them are going to be Chayev being Mechayim Kasher Zamam either, right? So Yehalchi Momon Nami. Ah, but the difference is, you see, that in terms of the La'asot La'achiv, basically between them, this mammon is what they wanted to do la'achiv. So that means that the achiv is essentially seeing the totsah as giving him exactly what one is wanted to be taken away from him. But so therefore he can be mitzarif the money, and it makes sense in terms of kasha zaman. But it does not make sense in terms of malchus. There's nothing at all that combines the 20 malchus of one guy with the 20 malchus of another guy. It's not as if it's being actually given to the defendants that they wanted to be mechayev. And now Richie wants Tante Zelda to be remembered here. Then we got to have his
Zuk the Heleka Mishnah.
You see, she's still doing good. In death as in life. There you go. Ein ha'idim nahasim zomim ad she'azimu et atzmam. The whole way that Ada's zonim work is that they are the focus of the attack. So it has to be they themselves, atzman, they themselves, that we are actually going to be attacking, not that we're discussing the testimony. We're testifying them. We'll see in the Gemara, where exactly we'll learn all of this from. So what do we mean by that? Well, let's take a case where we know for a fact that they are actual liars. Does that make them Adam's on the name? Suppose they testify that so-and-so killed Mr. X, right? And then Mr. X walks into court. That's highly unlikely that so-and-so killed Mr. X if he's sitting there talking to us. So obviously they were lying. So, I mean, that would seem to be a much better case of Adam Zomanim than taking the position that the second pair of Adam, they're the ones that are telling the truth, but that's not what the Torah tells us is Adam Zomanim, surprisingly. So therefore, let's take that case. They say A killed B, and the other Adam come along and they say, well, how can you say that? That on Monday at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you witnessed the murder of B by A. We happen to know that at that particular moment, the supposed victim or the supposed murderer, the Neharag or the Horeg, happened to be with us in a different place at that very time. That's not considered to be Adim Zomimim, because what we're arguing about is the testimony, the facts of the testimony, and not the question of an attack on the witnesses directly. So this is no different than Hakhasha. Aval Amrulahem, if they said, on the other hand, how could you say that since you yourselves were with us at a different location and therefore we accuse you personally of lying because you cannot have been where you said you were? And in that case, they are neheragin al pihem. So that's where and only there we're going to see in the Gemara is going to analyze the pasuk, how we know that that is the essence of the meaning of Edim Seimami. Ba'u acherim ve'ezimo. So now, after we already were mazim, set A with the Edim that claimed that set A was with them, so let's call that set X. And now set B comes along, and they say exactly the same thing that set A said, and they saw that, and comes along set X, and they say, how can you say that? You were with us. And then comes set C, and they say, we also saw that. And set X said, how can you say that? You were with us. And 100 different sets come, and everyone, coincidentally, happened to have been at exactly the same rock concert at that moment with set X. So, bo acherim vizimum. And then, bo acherim vizimum. And this happens 100 times. Kulam yaregu. It doesn't matter. Bottom line is that although this certainly looks awfully suspicious, but that's the halacha. We believe the ones that are coming to be mazim. Rebbe Yehuda Amar, wait a minute. is started so. I mean, this looks like a bunch of rotten conspirators. So this is a conspiracy. How could it be that everybody who comes along happens to be with these people at that time in a different place? Therefore, only the first cut eight would be actually killed. But after that, we will not accept it. Now, that obviously makes no sense. I mean, if we really believe that this is a conspiracy, then why would we sacrifice the first of the Kitot? The Gemara will explain what this means. So, immediately, how do we know that the whole idea of the Edim Zomimim is to be talking about the actual Edim and not the testimony itself? Omravada, diamakra, vine Eid Sheker Ha'ed. Sheker anav yachiv, ad shetishaker gufa shel edut. So if it's talking about the aid, sheker aid, not the edut. So what's a funny way of saying it? Aid sheker ha aid, sheker anav. Because that's the whole point, that we are saying it's the aid that is false, not what he said that is false. The Vayrav Yishmael Otana, they have another Pasuk, a very interesting Pasuk. It says over here, La'anot bo sara. What is kind of language is that? Ki akum eid chamas ba'ish la'anot bo sara. What does that word sara mean? Obviously, contextually, it means it's a non-realistic thing. It's all false. But what exactly does the word sara mean? Sara actually means that it's out of here, right? Sarah lahasir. It's taken out of reality. So what that means is that the la'anot bo sarah, you've got to actually be tasir gufa shel ha'edut. You have to move it out completely, meaning we're not arguing about what happened. We're arguing about the testimony. Can you have actually made this testimony? Well, the only way we can do that is not to argue about the facts. We could do that by arguing and attacking the ability of this person to have something to say. So it's the actuality, the goof of the edut that is under attack here, and only that is the parsha v'enim zomimim, where kainavasitim lo kasher zoma. Omer Rav, bo shnayim v'omru. So you have our two witnesses come walk into court. They say this was this enormous hall. It's called a bira. And b'mizrach bira harak b'lonit ha'nefesh at 5 p.m. as the clock struck 5, this guy pulls the trigger and he was in the east side of this gigantic hall. Another two witnesses come and they say, but as the clock struck 5, you were with us in the west of the hall. So how could you possibly be made? Well, then obviously, all we need to establish is whether it is possible, if you're standing in the west side with these witnesses, would the witnesses that they're testifying about have been able to see the murder on the east side? So then, okay, so then that doesn't prove anything, and they're not called zomimim. But if there's no way to see the east side from the west side, then they are zomimim. Well, obviously, I understand. Well, this is a chiddush. I need Rava to teach me this. Well, look, the bottom line is that what you're assuming is that because you can't see it, and you send people to examine the ability to see from the east side to the west side. I meant from the west side to the east side, but if they can't see it, that doesn't necessarily prove that these witnesses can't see it. I mean, maybe they have supervision, you know? That's supervision, not supervision. So if they had supervision, then they could have seen it. So maybe we should be chayish lenuhura baria. Maybe these people are like extremely well-sighted. So Rava is saying you don't have to take that into consideration to actually go and take these witnesses and check it out and so on. We assume that vision is vision. V'yomar Rava, bo shnayim v'omrum. How about a case where they say, we witnessed a murder in the city of Sura on the morning of Sunday. Zorah pluni ha'nefesh. Now, these edim that are mazim them come along and they say, but that night, that evening, You were with us in a restaurant in Nahar Adar. So how could you have seen that? Well, we take a look and see. If there's a way to be able to get from Surah to Nahar Adar between the morning time when they claim to have seen the murder and the evening when these people saw them in Nahar Adar, so what's the problem? Then they're not Zalimi. But if not, they are Zalimi. Well, this is also pretty obvious, isn't it? Yes, but here too. Maybe we should think about the fact that maybe these guys had the, the flying camel rental service where they only rent flying camels that can get there much faster. And maybe they got one of those very fast camels that they call flying camels. Obviously, it doesn't mean literally flying camels. But the point is that there may be like race camels, and there are such things. So maybe these guys were able to get hold of a race camel. Much more, you don't have to worry about that. Furthermore, Amar Rava, Bo Shnaim V'Amru, Chad B'Shabbat Ahar Plonei Et HaNefesh. Now, here's another question. These two witnesses say that we witnessed a murder on Sunday. The other witnesses come and they say, there's no way that you could have witnessed that murder because you were with us on Sunday in a completely different location. However, coincidentally, on Monday, we actually did witness that murder. And he did kill the guy, but it was on Monday, not on Sunday. And not only that, suppose they say, you could not possibly have seen this murder on Sunday because you were with us. However, we saw this murder on Erev Shabbat, before that Sunday. So which means that at the time that these witnesses claimed to have witnessed the murder, he had actually done that murder, committed the murder, and therefore you would say, well, so if that's the case, he was essentially Chayiv Misa from before because he committed the murder, so they didn't really make any difference if they claim that he did it a day later, 2 days later, even if they didn't see it. They were not testifying anything that wasn't true and anything that wasn't already an active case against these people. Nonetheless, they're Neharag. Why is that? Because until the Beis Din actually paskins that they're Chayiv Misa, they are not considered to be a Bar Ketala. It's not as if they're dead men walking. So what? It's true that he did commit that murder before, but what does that have to do with the fact that I was trying to get him knocked off for committing a murder he never committed on Sunday? The fact that he committed that murder before is irrelevant. So, Michael Marshman, I mean, what we're saying, that's a Beferish Mishnah. We have a Mishnah later on that goes like this, that in the event that you had two separate sets of witnesses. One is looking at the murder from the east, through windows looking on at the east. Others are far away in the west. They're both looking on at this murder in the middle, right? Now, one of these two kitot ends up turning out that they were lying. They weren't even there because the witnesses, the Zomimim, come and tell us you weren't even there. Okay, but Lamaisa, the other kat, was there, as far as we know. So the din over there would be that we kill the person who committed the murder on the basis of the other window, the other cat, and nonetheless, the first cat that turned out to be Edim Zolomim that had seen it from the opposite window, they're also killed. It's a Mishnah. So you see from there that despite the fact that what they were being made was that the murderer, who really was a murderer, they were saying he murdered. And it says first in the Mishnah, despite the fact that he's a murderer, he is nonetheless not going to be considered to be dead man walking, and therefore the people at window number one are also killed. That's exactly what Rava said. What is he adding? Ah, you're right. The first part is not adding a thing. But the next part, which is, quote, Masha Ein Kein Bigmardin, I didn't tell you that part. But that's the main part of Rava. That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is like this, which is, and we left this out in the beginning, if I would have told you the whole thing that Rava said, you probably would have understood what the Chiddush is. In the event that Bo Shnaim V'Amru, B'chad B'Shabbat Nigmar Dino Shalploni, so two witnesses come along, and they say, the court issued a verdict on Sunday that this person was supposed to be killed. All right. Now, two other witnesses come and say, you could not possibly know that because you weren't there on Sunday. You were with us. However, it is true that on Erev Shabbos, prior to that Sunday, he actually did have a court verdict that he's chayav Misa. And that means that at the time that the two witnesses had claimed that he was meant to be killed, it actually was true. Not only that, but assuming that, let's say, these guys that were saying were liars, they had come into court on Tuesday. And they claimed that on Sunday they witnessed the murder. And the two witnesses that are saying, you couldn't have seen it on Sunday because you were with us. However, on Monday, following that Sunday, Afilo Amru betray b'Shabbat Nigmar Dino Shaploni, which means that when they claim that he had killed someone on Sunday, he had not been Chayav Misa. That's irrelevant because we don't care what it is the day that they claim that the murder took place. We care about at the time that the testimony that was a lie took place. Were they testifying about dead men walking, or were they talking about a regular guy? Now, since the fact is that according to these other witnesses, on Monday, there actually was a verdict to kill these guys, then that means on Tuesday, when they gave their testimony, they were testifying against a person who was actually Chayav Misa. And therefore, they're not Nerag. Why? Because Be'idna to Kamasade, which is the only time that's important to us, when did they commit their crime of testifying falsely against this man? On Tuesday. But on Tuesday, he actually was a Bar Ketala, and therefore, even if they had shot him, which is what they wanted to do, they wanted to get him shot. So even if they had actually shot him, they would have been putter, because the gaffer was a Bar Ketala, since the court had already determined that they were going to kill him. So therefore, that part is a chiddush. And that is what Revel was really trying to bring out beyond the Mishnah, that what's important to us is the man's status, not his status at the assumed date that these people claimed, which turned out never happened, but what was his status at the time that they said what had happened. That needed to be made clear. Now, this is also true about Teshlumei Knas. So it's not only true about a Chiyav Misa, because basically, if the guy would have come in and he was Chayav HaKnas, and he would have walked into Besdin and he would have been Modeh, he would have said, listen, gentlemen, I raped this girl on such and such a date, and I'm Chayav to pay Chamishim Shekel. He wouldn't have to pay the Chamishim Shekel. Because, I mean, he would have to pay any damages or something that he had caused. But as far as the fine for statutory rape, he would be potter because Modeh B'Knas is potter. So therefore, we cannot call someone a bar chiyuva just because we know that he committed this crime. Because even if he had said he committed the crime, he wouldn't be a bar chiyuva. So therefore, in a case where Bosh Shnayim V'Omru, so two people come along as witnesses and they say, so on Sunday, this guy stole a shor, and he went ahead and he shechted that shor, or maybe he sold the shor. Now the din is over there, of course, that he's chayev not just as a normal ganav, but he's chayev to pay an additional five times the amount he has to pay because of the fact that he did tficha u'mechira. And that happened on Sunday, they claim. Now two witnesses come along and they say, well, you never saw that because on Sunday you were with us. But on Monday, it's true. We saw him actually do that. The din is that they are chayav to pay as edim zomim. Not only that, Lord, afilu amru, even if they had said that actually he did that stealing and selling or shechting, he did that on Erev Shabbos. So which means that at the time that you claimed that he was chayev, he really was chayev. Even there, they still have to pay as edim zomim. Why? Because when they gave the testimony, he was not chayev to pay yet. Because he might have done it, But the fact that he did it since the Chiyuv of Kedas is not binding as if he actually has to pay it. The proof of the pudding is that if he would have walked in and said, I admit that I did it, he wouldn't have to pay anything. So therefore, here too, they are not going to be chayev. Now, on the other hand, same thing that I said about Chiyuv Misa, that was the last part of what Rava said, Rava repeats this in Nogia Knas as well. If two witnesses came and they said that not only on Sunday was he going to have a Tavach Umachar, but he was taken to court for that, and the court determined that he had to pay five times the value of the shor. Then, Boshnaim v'Amru, you couldn't have seen that because on Sunday you were with us. However, on Erev Shabbos, he was going to have Tavach Umachar, and the court actually gave a verdict that has to pay five times as much. As a matter of fact, even if the court had only paskin, witnesses came in and they say that he was chayev on Monday and on Sunday. And these two guys come in and they say, actually, he did shecht on the sell on Monday. And the thing is, on Sunday, I mean, and on Monday, the court actually handed down their psak halacha that he has to pay. In any of those cases, even though the court only made that verdict on Monday and the Zomimim were talking about Sunday, it makes no difference because they had only gone into court on Tuesday. And Beidna Komisade, at the time that they walked into court, this person already was high of that money. And therefore, it's basically testifying to something that is irrelevant because they weren't going to be chayev in that money. He was already truly chayev that money all on his own. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, nah, come on, this is a conspiracy. Istatitizu, how can you take this guy seriously? Well, I don't understand. If it's a conspiracy, then why are we sacrificing the first kat of Eden? Afilu kat rishonan anilov. Well, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a case where the first cat was killed. So then, that's ridiculous. If the first cat is killed, so what are you telling me? The only ones that are killed are the first cat. Okay. Whatever happened, happened. I mean, that's not the point, is it? So, my da'ave, it's not no geya, the halacha. You're telling me we would never kill any of these kitot, even the first one. And when it says the first one, however, are killed, it means if they were killed, they're dead. Well, I sort of could figure that out by myself. So what are you telling me the story for? If it happened, it happened. That's ridiculous. But it means it's like this. Only if there was a single cat, if there's only a single cat that they're claiming are Zaymanin, then Nerega. But if there's more than one, we're already suspicious. And therefore, none of them were Ne'eragin. And if it's more than one group that supposedly was with them, it's already suspicious that it's a conspiracy. No, that's not possible. Because it says, Ein Ne'eragin ela kata rishona bilvad. Bilvad means there are others, but we'll only kill them. I mean, otherwise we're saying bilvad. Just say, in their argument, Elakat Rishona, where there's one. There's obviously more than one. If you say Bilvad, that is a problem. I don't know how to answer that. Gosh. Anyway, there was another case that sounds very much the same. This woman kept coming into court, bringing witnesses that claimed whatever this guy was high after her, $1,000. Every single time that the court examined those witnesses, they ended up contradicting themselves, and we threw them out, and she was never able to collect that $1,000 that she claimed was due her. So finally, so she brings another cut, same thing happens. Anyway, at the end, she manages to find another cut, and that cut, they weren't able to catch in any kind of contradiction. So Reish Lakish says, look, you know, I mean, this woman is obviously going out, paying people to be made, and she can't get good enough people. It's just a little coincidental, don't you think, that everyone that she brings into court turns out to be crummy witnesses. She finally gets somebody that's a decent witness, so now we're going to believe it? I mean, that doesn't look to you like a conspiracy? Omale Rebbe Elazar, well, I understand. Just because we see her as being the kind of person that's going to keep bringing people to court, that doesn't give us a right to disqualify regular people who have a cheskas kashrus. So you're saying, she looks very suspicious. She does. But well, who cares what she is? I don't care. Maybe she's a murderess. Who knows? But the point is, the witnesses that she's been bringing, we have no reason to disqualify them on the basis of her. And we should say, what, she managed to get regular B'nai Yisrael to say, Eda Sheker? I mean, they have a cheskas kashrus, and on that basis, Kol Yisrael Miuska, what everybody that she brings, we're ready to say that they don't have a cheskas kashrus. Anyway, so one time, they're sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and exactly this case comes before them, where a person kept bringing people into court to testify on her behalf. So Reish Lakish says, I mean, this woman is obviously a vicious individual that's going to keep bringing witnesses. She's probably paying for them. Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish exactly what Rabbi Elazar had said. Well, says he, maybe this woman, yes, she definitely does look like a mafioso, but does that mean that Kol Yisrael Miuzik, same exact word for word, what Rabbi Elazar had said? And because of that, Reish Lakish realized that Rabbi Elazar had actually been quoting Rabbi Yochanan when he gave his answer or his question to Reish Lakish, and he didn't quote it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. So Reish Lakish knew how to give very dirty looks. As we know, Reish Lakish was a very tough character, not the kind of guy you'd want to meet in the street or in an alleyway at night, especially if you live in Chutz Laaretz. So anyway, so Reish Lakish gives this Rabbi Elazar one of his best dirty looks. So Hodar Chazya, the Rabbi Elazar Bishut. So he gives him a dirty look, and he says to him, you bum, Shamata Mili Mibarnavcha V'lo Amarta Mishmei. You obviously had heard this from Rabbi Yochanan. Remember that there's a number of different approaches to why we call Rabbi Yochanan Barnavcha. Some of the Rishonim actually say his father was a Navcha. So they called him that. Okay, there's a lot of interesting Pirushim. But in any event, you obviously, if you're saying it word for word, you should have said, well, Rabbi Yochanan said about this case that and you didn't. So, I mean, this seems to mean, sounds like, Reish Lakish is simply extending the din of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah that looks like a conspiracy. Now, all of these people end up having been in the place where this guy was, and that's enough to passel this testimony. Was Rabbi Yochanan, he's going to Tanakama. Tanakama says, look, I mean, just because, looks suspicious doesn't mean we can possibly aid him based on something looking suspicious. So I mean, it seems to be exactly the same point. No, says him, not at all. Reish Lakish would say to you, I can agree with the Tanakama. Why are you saying I have to go like Rabbi Yehuda? The Rabbanan over there, they said, no reason to suspect these witnesses because we don't see anyone that's involved in trying to get people to come by and to say this testimony. These are like completely unrelated people, and they all are claiming to have seen an event. Why in the world do we have a right just because they are the same people that these other people saw? I mean, why should we assume that these other people are lying? But, I mean, that's not the same as this case. This case, we have a person actively trying to get witnesses to say these words. And she keeps trying, and she keeps failing, and now she finally succeeded. I mean, what are we going to say? That this is real? I'm suggesting that in this case, even the Rabbanan would disagree, and they would agree here with what Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mishnah. Because this definitely looks much more like a conspiracy than what Rabbi Yehuda was saying. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, I don't understand why you think that I'm going only according to the Rabbanan. I believe that Rabbi Yehuda would 100% agree with me in this case. Because Ad Kan Lo Kami Rabbi Yehuda Hasam, over there, what's suspicious is the fact that how can these two people manage to be exactly where all these other people that are walking into court? I mean, don't you understand that that is what's suspicious? Not that they're all saying the same thing. What's suspicious is, how is it that the whole world happens to be in the same rock concert that these two guys are? So anybody that comes into court, they say, well, you were with us. That's what's very suspicious and looks like a conspiracy. That's where Rabbi Yehuda said it. But over here, I mean, understand what is suspicious. What's suspicious is nothing about the witnesses. What's suspicious is merely the fact that this woman is suspicious. But why would that rub off on the witnesses? I mean, certainly likely that Ani Yadi Besaduta, Vani Lo Yadi Besaduta. I mean, the original people, they were not careful enough to be able to actually be able to answer all our questions and not to make contradictions, and the other ones weren't. And therefore, I fail to see why you insist that I would only be going according to one approach. So that means that we now see the extensions of the Sfaras about where we would say the Chazoka and where we would say the conspiracy. We've added a lot of interesting new information about how far the Machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanna Kamma would extend. Now, Rabosai, we did say to our friends in Joburg that we're going to not do the whole thing so that we give them a chance to be able to catch up a bit. So I suggest that maybe we should, Laman HaChesed, we should maybe stop here and allow them to finish up with us tomorrow.
And Rabbi will have a nice tea with honey.
You think that'll help? Without boost, things are tough, Barnea.
Wait a second. They won't be joining us tomorrow morning.
Oh, wait a minute.
Because it's still hard for them.
You're 100% right. It's still hard for them.
It would be nice if tomorrow night.
It's so weird.
We're not learning tomorrow morning.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. 9:30. Please read my notes.
Wait. I got confused. What we usually do.
Read my notes. Yes. 9:30 tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And they will be joining us Tuesday.
May I please make a suggestion? Thank you. So I'm saying what we've done in the past in these circumstances is the first day of Chol HaMoed, we actually learned later to allow them to join us.
No, Barnea was right. Barnea had it right. No, it can't be. No.
What?
No. That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying. We learned at night.
Okay.
Nobody listened to you, Barnea.
Oh, I was
these new glasses
Barnea
that you got
did say it.
Are very exciting.
Barnea did say it, and I said, yeah, Barnea is right, but nobody listened to us.
That's because we're all stupid, and I forgot.
No, if somebody
it's not Yunter, that it's Yunter for them tomorrow. That was ridiculous. Okay, so let's continue then. Okay. All right. So Richie is ready for Zakai Halakha Mishnah, and what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to make some phone calls to South Africa right after Yontif, their Yontif, and let them know the bad news. Now, somehow or other, Naftali has managed to get on here. You know, I'm not asking any nasty questions about getting on Yontif and. But it turns out if we have Michal Yontif here anyway, so they could actually notify everybody.
Well, if I was here, yes.
Sorry?
If I was in South Africa, yes.
Yeah, I know. But you didn't show up at my Seder, so I figured you must be in South Africa. Yeah, I know. All right, Richie, give it to us, Richard.
Zukai Leka Mishnah.
Ein Ha'edim Zomimim Neharagin Ad Sheigamer Hadin. So look, the Beis Din has to pasken. Please mute. Somebody's not muted there. The Beis Din has to actually pasken that the Chiyuv was already, we didn't carry it out yet, but they did have to pasken that the Chiyuv of Misa or whatever it was, here we're talking about Nerugin, so obviously it's the Chiyuv Misa, unless the Din was already paskened and we haven't yet killed them. Because, you know, the Tzedukim used to say that only in the event that he's killed, actually killed, do we kill Adam Zomim. I mean, after all, it does say Nefesh Tachat Nefesh in that parsha of Adam Zomim. Amrulam Chachamim, well, what about the words of Asitim Lo Kasher Zamam La'asot La'achim? How do you call a person who is dead your brother? La'asot La'achim. I mean, the using that language means Hare Achiv Kayam. Obviously, the Ach is like you. There, he's still around. So you'll say, but it says Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. It does indeed. But why does it say that? In Kain Lama Nemar Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, Yocho Misha Ashikiblu Edotanya Eregu. Because you might have thought that in the moment that they testify, that's already when it is that we're able to be Mechayev then. And therefore it says, no, it has to be a life for a life, meaning that this life had already been canceled, so to speak, by the verdict, but they weren't really killed yet. So we'll be able to be Mekayim, both Nefesh B'Nefesh, and also the Ochiv. Tana. Baribi Omer. So now this Baribi, it's a little bit strange who this Baribi is, because Rashi says over here that it means his name is Baribi, but everywhere else, Rashi talks about it as if it's a name of Hashivas, Gadol B'Dere, is Baribi. So it's interesting, the Ritva says that actually Baribi is Baribi. He was actually Rebbe's son that we're talking about over here. And Rebbe, the conversation that we're going to have, is Rebbe's testing him to see whether he could answer the questions that Rebbe was raising. So Baribi said, Lo hargu neharagin. If these witnesses who were the Edim Zomimim had not yet got the Beis Din to kill him, then we kill them. But if they already killed him and the Beis Din had carried out the din, then ain't neharagin. So his father says to him, Bini, that's a little bit ridiculous. I mean, isn't it a kal v'chomer? Marlo, so he told his father, and again, Ashes Edway the Ritva's learning, this was a test. Isn't it a kal v'chomer? How can you say that? So he said to his father, but Rebbe, you taught us, the Tener Rabbeinu, she'ein onesh imin hadin. You can't use a kal v'chomer. You're stuck with the pasuk. The pasuk says, kasher zaman. So you can't use a kal v'chomer to tell us that even if it went beyond the zimum into the actual misa, the Tanya, Ish asher yikach et achuto bat aviv o bat imo. So this is fascinating. O bat imo? In other words, if he sleeps with his sister, who is either his father's daughter or his mother's daughter. I mean, that seems to mean that that's the only case that the Torah is saying there's a chiyuv of kares. What would be the case if she were both batimo ubataviv? Therefore, the Torah adds those extra words. Remember, we talked about in many of the arayas, we had the repetitive imohi or ervata chotogila, just saying what it is that had been said before to tell me I'm adding even a full sister. Ervata chotogila includes from both sides. Now, come now. Why do I need an ex pasuk? Achlo yomar yeshli bedin. I mean, I have an obvious kavuchomer, don't I? Iman ashlo bat aviv shelo batimo, and batimo shelo bat aviv. So isn't both bata vivo bata mo obvious, lo koshiken? So why does the Torah do it this crazy way instead of just saying achoto of any kind? So this teaches us that ein onashim menadin, you cannot use a kal v'chomer to make any kind of onesh. You can make suggestions about the din where it's not an onesh on somebody, but you can't use your fallibility to be koveya an onesh, as we spoke about before. Okay, so now I learn ein onashim min adin. So neshamanu. But can you actually give an azara min adin? Remember that the azara is only the indication in the pasuk that such an act is prohibited, and based on that azara, we'll be able to give malchus, which is established by the azara. Can we be koveya an azara on a kal v'chomer? Ah, so let's take a look at the azara as well. Ervata chotcha bat avicha o bat imecha. It says exactly the same thing when it comes to the azara nachrimot as it does about the chiyav in kedoshim. And it says over there, indeed, bat avicha o bat imecha. So it means eimi ela bat aviv shelo bat imo, and bat imo shelo bat aviv. How do I know? Bat aviv ubat imo minayin, Talmud lomar, ervat bat eshet avicha, whether she's moledet avicha, and it, whether she is allowed, meaning she's actually from his wife or not. The bottom line is, achot chayi, she is your sister, and that is those extra words again. Of course she's my sister. No. She's your sister, meaning even if she's your full sister. And then it says, lo tegal ervata. So we have an azara. But what do I need the pasuk for? Hachelo yomar, yesh li min adin. If there's an azara about sleeping with a bat imo shelo bat aviv, or a bat aviv shelo bat imo, it's sort of clear that if she's both bat aviv u bat imo, so lo koshiken, alamadata, she'in maziri min adin. Okay, now, getting back to... Now, remember that this little conversation over here is not really the bottom line of all of this, because we actually are going to learn from the words kasher zamam lasot lachiv v'lo kasher asa. So the Torah specifically takes that out, even if, in other words, Bar Ribi was only coming to address Rebbe's point of, is it not a kal v'chomer? And he was saying, well, it's irrelevant if it's a kal v'chomer. But even if onashin min adin, there would still have been a comeback, namely that the Torah specifies that it cannot be if it was already done. So getting back to the halacha, this is all very nice because it said specifically in that case it was referring to meherogin. So how do we know that the same thing would be true for chayave malkiot? Because it was all based on nefesh tachas nefesh, right? So over there, that was what the Chachamim were arguing with the Tzedukim, and proved it from the Ochiv in terms of nefesh tachas nefesh. But how do we know that that's true also in terms of Chayvi Malkiot? Well, we have Gzeira Shava, as we saw, Talmud Lomar, Rasha, Rasha. We had that Kal v'chomer before. Asher Rasha Lamud. And Vayayim Binakot HaRasha. This is a famous Gzeirah Shavah that serves its purposes in many different dinim. So that teaches us whatever the halachas are of Hazama, the judicial procedures of Hazama and the Chiyuvim are exactly the same as they are for Rasha Lamut, as they are for a Binakot HaRasha. And how do we know the same thing would be true to people who are Chayiv in Goluyot? Where does it say over there? Because here, we can't use this same limud that we have. Ati rotzeach rotzeach. We do have a gezeirah shavah. We have a rotzeach who is lanus shama rotzeach, which is, of course, the pasuk of Orim Miklat. And we have mot yumat ha-rotzeach in the case where somebody actually was a rotzeach b'mezid. So that tells us whatever the din would have been b'mezid, namely, the Nefesh Takas Nefesh is only where he wasn't actually killed, and it's La'achiv. Same thing is true about the Rotseach Bishrigeng, who is Chayim Malkus. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboi, Ereh b'nechama, if I'm not telling you the truth, I should only need to have a nechama, chas v'chalila. One of my children should die if this isn't true. I'm telling you the truth. Im lo harakti eit zonim, lo tzi mi libam shal tzedukim, shayo emrim in ha'edim, b'seimim im nerogin at sheyehareg anidon. So, basically, I tell you that I wanted to make this Mishnah so clear, I myself saw to it that an Eid Zomim who had come along and he said, this guy is Chayav Nisa, and the court did not kill him, I had that guy killed. Just to prove, Lot Simili Bamshel Tzedukim, who say that there's no din of Hazama unless he actually is killed. Amaloshim and Mesheta, well, that's interesting. You want to be Arab and Nechama. If you didn't do that, I'll be Arab and Nechama if you're not a murderer. There's no such thing as killing an Eid Zomim, my dear colleague. Only Eidim Zomim. No Eid Zomim. So how did you do that without being a murderer? Eina Eidim Zomim in Nerogin, Aji Zomushneim. There is no din of Hazama if there's only one Eid Zomim. So you were completely out of bounds in having this guy killed. Miyad kibel alav Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboi she'eno moreh hora'al ela lifnei Shimon ben Shetach. Because Shimon ben Shetach had said him right and had been eimed on his error immediately and didn't hesitate to tell him, he accepted upon himself a chumrah. He will never give a hora'ah on his own. It has to be in the presence of Shimon ben Shetach, who will be able to make any corrections after he made such a horrific error. V'chol yomav shel Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboi, for the rest of his life, haya mishtateach al kivro shel oto ha'ed, he would go and he would lie down over the grave of that guy, and he would keep begging him to be meichel him. V'haya kolo nishma, you could hear voices like all over the area. And they weren't quite certain whose voice it was. So people thought, and it was the voice of the person that was buried. I mean, obviously, that's much more exciting than to say that it was actually Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboi's voice. I mean, it must be his arguing, and the guy is saying to him, no, I'm not Michael. You know, I mean, that's like, wow, what a story. And but he kept saying, Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboi kept saying, it's ridiculous. That's my voice begging for forgiveness. And you'll see, the Machar who made, he, meaning he himself, Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboi, is going to be dead one day, and you will see that there's no voices. So that will finally settle this controversy. And sure enough, no voices. That doesn't prove anything. Maybe after Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboi died, so they went to court. Dilma Bedina Kamba, maybe in the Shamayim, they went to court. Or maybe Nami Piyusi Paisi, maybe Rabbi Yehuda ben Taboi was able to be Mephias, this guy, in the Olam HaEmes. And that would also explain why there are no voices. But it wasn't the guy who was moaning and groaning about the way that he was executed illegally. That's what you're assuming it is. That doesn't prove it. I don't know that that's the point.